Bless the Lord. How are you today? Grace City Church. It's so good to see your faces here. Some are old, some are new. And it's been a wonderful experience to be able to journey with a group of God's people for 35 plus years, however it might be. And so it's great to be here today. I've been trying to retire. Although they say you never retire from ministry, but I've actually written out my resignation three times and I'm still trying to get into that position. And so we've moved down south and trying to do a reno. Then we got that half ready, then went to do another reno. Like, so stupid, Pastor. Stupid, Mike. Particularly at my age. But I'm here today. Loving being with you all today. In ministry, I've found it really hard to cultivate friendship. Just, I think it's the nature of the job, ministry, the task of ministry. You get very busy and you tend to keep a lot of relationships very superficial. But I call this man here one of my friends. Thank you, Stuart. I'm getting to learn about Pastor Aaron as well. He's a nice man. He's really nice. I mean, if you have a real problem and you're a little bit out of sorts, don't ask Pastor Stuart 10. He'll tell you, da, 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 da. This man will be nice to you and give you a hug. So I'm loving getting to know him as well. You are blessed to have Pastor Aaron and his dear wife, Yvonne, alongside him, trying to bring you to all of God's fullness. Amen? Amen. So I've come to believe that ministry, the kingdom, a lot of the things that we seek and desire requires a partnership with God. God does his bit, and then we're meant to do our bit. Do you think that's okay? So, and at times it's very difficult then to actually work out who's responsible for which part of all. But every person here today has been given a gift, an ability, certain things that you can do. God's given it to you in order that you might, God may be able to exploit that for his glory in a very dying world. It's not an accident. He wants you to be able to embrace in stewardship faithfully all that he's given you for the good of others. Amen? Have you heard me sing? It's not pleasant, I'm told. I ask people, would you like me to sing happy birthday to you? And they say, please, no, no, no. Please, no. I just love to just get off note and key and draw out those notes and everybody stick their fingers in the ears. It's not my gift. But maybe it's your gift. And you need to step forward and let God begin to use that for his abilities. So in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, we have the story of the talents and how the Lord goes away and he gives talents to different people and then he comes back later on. And at the end of the day, he's expecting there to be fruit. Okay? If you're a Christian here today, God expects fruit out of your life. He expects you to be able to multiply what is given to you. And to those who, to the man who is unable to produce fruit, he received a chastisement from the Lord. And there are other scriptures like Luke 12:48, to whoever much is given, much is required of you. Who's received anything from God today? Yesterday, if you received much from God, well then much is required. And then you've got other scriptures like 1 Peter 4:10, Romans 12:6-8, that says everyone, turn to someone and say, you're an everyone. Everyone has been given a gift by God. So, beloved, many people desire ability, influence, and opportunity to open doors. We pray for gifts and talents, wisdom, strength. Yet the Bible teaches that we have ability in him. It's given to us. In fact, beyond what you can ask or think or even imagine, God has given to you through the power of his Holy Spirit. And of course, if you are a Christian, you also have this amazing capacity to actually come into full alignment and empowerment through a person called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives you ability, the dunamis of God, the power of God, the power to do things to change the world. In the kingdom of God, we can do. What we can do is connected to what we must do. The hand that receives from God is also the hand that should give back in service. The mind that understands truth must live the truth. The voice that can speak must live the life. The heart that has received grace must extend grace. Ability means the ability to be surrendered to, here's my big word today, to response ability. The greatest ability you can have is response ability. You hear my little click on the nuance of the term there? It's the ability to respond well. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I have the ability to respond very badly sometimes. But in Jesus Christ, we have that moment between the triggering thought or the triggering prompting. We have that moment between that. We have that moment to say, God, what do you want me to do here? How do you want me to respond? And in that moment, choose a different outcome. I've been around a long time. You can tell by my grey hair. It's not even grey anymore, is it, Henry? It's actually skipped over grey. It's gone straight to white. And as a result of that, I often get called in to do things in terms of troubleshooting in churches. And I've done a little bit here over the many years of the church. I've been called in to do a little bit of troubleshooting in a situation where there's an older man who is very pastoral. He's a community worker. He's been engaged in this sort of work for years and years and years. I mean, he's a good guy. You'd love him in your church. And he's assisting now at a Tamil outreach project, ministry mainly to refugees, and they just give a soup kitchen once a week. That's a nice thing to do. Come have soup free. And it's an opportunity to share the gospel. A couple of months ago, he's now trying to close up the program. It's a pretty skinny in terms of resources, like him and nobody else. He's saying to people, you need to go home now. It's over. In the meantime, one of the other helpers comes in and says, no, I want a drink of water. And he says, no. The kitchen's closed. It's time to go home. It's over. Please go home. He says, no, it's hot outside. I want a drink of water. That's like a reasonable request. He says, no, you can't have a drink of water. It's shut. Please go. Anyways, no, she says, no, I want my drink of water. And so she walks through, pushes through to walk past the man to get to the kitchen to get her water. And he's saying, no, I need to go home. I have, you know, he's an older man, doesn't have some health issues. He's got a dodgy, he wants to go, he wants to shut up. He's been trying to get people out for the last 15 minutes. So he says, no. And so he starts to close the door and she tries to force through the door. And it's resulted in a conflict. The lady thinks she's been criminally abused. Probably not under the technicalities of the law. But when you think about it, there was a moment when both parties had the opportunity to say, is there a better way to respond to this action right now? And unfortunately, they missed the opportunity, the responsibility. One of the biggest things you can ever do sometimes is just to own up for something that you've done or even some things that you haven't done. Here's a point. Do you know that Jesus took your faults and mistakes and sins upon himself so that others might go free? Amen? Because we do. You could walk into some situations and say, hey, yeah, look, I'm sorry, it shouldn't have happened, and you change the whole thing. You can bring peace into the chaos. You can bring light into the darkness. You can bring joy. You can bring joy into the depression. You can bring so many other things into it because you have response ability. The ability to respond how Jesus would like you to do. And that's often very supernatural and very special. So it begins with faithfulness and not comparison. Ability is entrusted by God in Matthew 25. The master goes on a journey and he gives each according to his ability. I have, over the years, always felt underqualified for what God's called me to do. Anybody else ever felt like that? I mean, I've been a music director. I can't play an instrument for nuts. You know, I have planned a Bible college in this state and in Islamabad and other places in the world. You know, I left school at 14, could hardly read or write. I've never felt qualified to do what God's called me to do. But I want to tell you this, in the name of Jesus Christ, hear this. If God's called you to do it, then he will also give you the capacity to do it. And if you feel that you can't do it, that's actually probably pretty healthy because that will keep you praying and asking God to equip you to do what he's asking you to do. And so God is good in that ability. So he entrusts us and he has an expectation that we will do according to the ability he gives us. The first truth is ability is not accidental. It's given to you by God as a trust. So we have these skills. So I trust you use it well. I'll trust you with this. So responsibility begins not with faithfulness, begins with faithfulness rather than comparison. You know, some people might have their five quality. Some are given five credits, some are given two credits, some are given one credit and stuff. But it's not the amount. All you have to do is reproduce what God's given you. Don't look at the person next to you. Look at the person sitting right where you are now as the means of fulfilling that responsibility. Now, when people fail to do their responsibilities, then bad things tend to happen. In 1989, January, the spaceship shuttle Challenger, 73 seconds into its flight, exploded, losing seven lives. Terrible tragedy. Millions, if not billions of dollars go up in smoke in a moment. And after all the forensics are done and they try and find out what caused it, what caused this terrible accident to occur, it came down to a very simple thing. A 10-cent rubber O-ring. 10 cents. And there were scientists down the line who had said, well, I have a fear that if we use these cheaper O-rings, these cheaper rubber rings, that under the cold conditions just prior to the launching, they may not just operate and stretch enough to protect the fuel from doing what it did, which was blow up. And so there was someone who knew, I don't like the chances of us using this. They tried to tell someone upline, but nobody listened. Nobody listened. Nobody took responsibility for the potential fault. And so it's really critical for us to understand when things aren't happening, it's not always the pastor's fault. Sometimes we have to assume the responsibility to do what God's called us to do. We are still on planet Earth today because God still has things for us to do. And we live in a strange world, a troubled world, and it's not getting better, is it? It's not getting better. We are faced with situations now where unbelievable, we're seeing the conditions of World War One and World War Two being repeated in the Ukraine-Russian special military operation. They're reckoning 1.5 million people have died or become casualties in this war. More than all the casualties of World War II. How can this happen again? Haven't we learned anything? I don't think we have. We now live in an age where truth doesn't exist anymore. Everybody wants to develop their own truth. You can't believe now your phones, you can't believe your media, you can't believe the news, you can't believe anything now. You have to be so careful now that you have a filter of how you view the world. And if you don't have a Christian filter, you're in trouble, because you're going to be pulled away to one of these things. Jesus warned us in three Gospels, you know, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. That's what he warned us. In the last days, things will happen that if it's possible, it'll even draw away the elect. And you won't know what to believe unless you stay close to Jesus, really close to Jesus. You know, one of the big fears now is the aliens. I'm just seeing if there are any aliens here today. Any aliens here today? We're all human here today. But, you know, the great disclosure, all these files are coming here. We are being conditioned. Not all of us will fall for it, but we are being conditioned to receive an Antichrist that's going to save the earth from a UFO and advanced technology. And millions will go for that. Millions will be deceived by that lie. And we're going to be more and more confronted with these claims. We are looking at serious times. So what's our response ability? What's your response ability? Well, I'll talk about me. I have a bit of a teaching gift. So one of the things I'll do is I'll teach. And I'll try and transmit that. And I'm fascinated with the power of the gospel to actually change the world through me simply obeying in that simple space. We have a Pakistani lady in our church, Sister Zahida. You know her. And, you know, when she came to Australia a number of years ago, we assisted her to try and find a refugee status here with her husband and stuff. She could not speak English beyond hello, goodbye. Yeah, nice to see you. Pass the mic, too much fat, you know. Very, very basic. And she said to me about 12 months ago, Pastor, I have a real call of God upon my life. I want to start ministering in the church and stuff like that. And I'm saying, look, so here, the trouble is your English isn't so good. So, you know, you've got a great heart and you've got great material, your content. So how about you start to try and master English? So what shall I do? Now I'm living 350 kilometres away, so it's a bit hard for me to be with on a weekly basis. So I said to her, well, what I want you to start to do, if you could get the Old Testament in English and in your Urdu Bible, and I want you now to write out the Bible in English with your Urdu Bible open alongside you. Last time I checked, there's 66 books in the Bible. Some of them are quite long. In under a year, she had done that. Beautiful, every line of the Bible written out in English in freehand, and she checked every word in the Urdu. And then I was like, wow, there's someone who has responsibility. They're acknowledging a gift on a life and doing what they can to see it grow and stuff. And just recently we've celebrated the fact she's planted a church now in Lahore. All these thousands have come. She hasn't even had to go there. She just has spoken to a few people, a few relatives, saved up a little bit of pocket money. That's all what it was. And now there's a church of 100 believers in Lahore worshipping the Lord. And I want to just go, yeah! What God can do when simply say, God, I'm here, use me. Here are my talents. And you might find that the only thing you feel you can offer God is I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes here. But put it into the hands of Jesus. Your little in God's hands can do much. And who gets the glory out of that? Well, God gets the glory out of those wonderful little responses. So we thank you for what God is doing in the earth. And we need to embrace. So the only thing I can do is pray. I'm finding that the words that Jesus often said, well, watch and pray. When you see these things happen, watch. Don't go, watch. We should be watching what's happening in Israel. We should be watching the peace treaties. We should be watching what's happening in Iran right now. I mean, this is These are seismic events. I don't know what your calendar says, but God has a calendar and he's right on target with his calendar. May not match your diary, but he is active on planet Earth and he will have his way. And for those who may be even a little bit more open to what's happening in the world, Islam is shaking its at the very moorings of its foundations. Islam was protected by ignorance and violence and the threat of death for most of its years since the prophet started. It's not been protected so much now. And so through the internet, we have literally seen thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims leaving Islam. Most come into Christianity, sometimes quietly, sometimes very dangerously, sometimes paying a very high price. But we are going to see in heaven millions of people who will say, Isla is Lord. Jesus is Lord. It's phenomenal. They've been woken up with dreams and encounters and all sorts of circumstances. God's active in the planet. He's doing amazing things, amazing miracles here and there. Whether it's in the prisons, whether it's in missions, but we also need to do our bit here. So can you watch? Can you pray? Can you pray? And one of the things you'll need to pray for is, Lord, keep me close to you in these last days. It's going to be for the many of God's people's love will grow cold during the last days. You know, the world has its distractions and its things that will tend to put out your love. We will need to be really connected to the Lord in these last days in terms of our love. Jesus appeared to Peter in John chapter 21 at the beach, and you know there's been some sadness there in that Peter was so committed to the Lord. He was at Matthew 16, and Peter's asked the question, "Well, who do you say that I am?" You know, the place of Caesarea Philippi, which is a place of pagan worship, the little shrines everywhere. You know, it's a place of idols. And Jesus just asked the question, who do you say that I am? And today, every one of us has to answer that question. Who do you say Jesus is? You can't get out of the building now. You're going to have to answer that question. Is he a teacher? Is he a good man? Is he a prophet? Is he a reincarnation? Or is he the Son of the living God? Well, Peter got it right. You're the Son of the living God. And then he was then tested on that. And Jesus said, well, great, but, you know, before the cock crows three times, you'll end up denying me. And, you know, fast going through the story quite fast. And, no, that will never happen. Look at me. I'm a big, strong man. Takes out his sword. He's prepared to go to warfare, military effort to try and protect Jesus. And yet he ends up denying the Lord and then just seeing the Lord walking through the courtyard, catching their eyes. And Peter wept. He knew he had failed the Lord. That's a bad thing to do. Then through the post-resurrection appearances, we know that somehow Jesus met with Cephas first, Peter first, and now we get to the beach. And here's this beautiful picture, if I can just try and paint this for you. When you fail God badly, it's good to know sometimes he'll come to you and say, do you want to do breakfast? That's just so good, isn't it? We serve a God who's interested in us, in having fellowship with us, and that the issue can be resolved. We will need to talk about it, but the issue is just pushed back a little bit because us is important. Until you build the bridge between the two parties, sorting out any issue gets very hard. And so he sits down on the beach and, you know, he's cooking up those fish burgers. And then Jesus has a conversation with Peter. Peter, I want you to know this. Peter, let me ask you this. Do you love me? And she's, you know, he says, yes, you know, do you love me? Asked the second time, do you love the lamps? Asked the third time, do you love me? But I want you to hear this. We serve a God who's really interested in the sincerity of your love. We serve a God who will ask us three times, do you love me? Because the first time's a bit easy sometimes, isn't it? Second time gets a bit harder. Third time, is it for real? And so when we get to the end of it all, when we get to heaven, you start to walk up that celestial staircase to meet with Jesus. He's not so much interested in what you've done, as much as I'm trying to get you to do things. I mean, the one thing we should do today, Pastor Stuart, is make certain we get that QR code and we put it on the picture. That's the one thing. We can all do that, can't we? If you've got to talk to a 16-year-old to help you to do it, we can all do that. But he's not so much interested in what have you done, but do you love him? And what's the depth of that love? How sincere is it? How real is it? The scariest passage in the Bible for me is in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is just winding up his teaching and he starts, you know, look out for the false ones. And in Matthew 7 verse 23 it says, and in that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we hear healings? Didn't we do all these wonderful things? And Jesus will say to them and say, I don't know you. Depart from me. I never knew you. He's not talking to a backslider, because a backslider would have known God at one stage. He's talking to someone he's never had relationship with here. And here the Greek is very useful, because he's using a particular Greek word. We've only got the one word for knowledge, really, here in English. He's not asking, do you have information about them? Jesus knows who they are in the terms of, he knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows everything. He's asking, I never had a relationship with you. All the things that you did, all the supernatural things you did, even in my name, doesn't count for the fact I don't know who you are. He's inviting every human being into relationship with him. And that staggers my mind that God would want to do that. Why would God want to spend time with Mike? Like, I find me boring. Why would God want to do that? And yet he does. God wants you. He loves you. He loves you and he loves you. And he wants to know whether you love him back. But the best way you can show God that you love him is actually to do stuff. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of the sheep of God. So ladies and gentlemen, Grace City Church, I'm going to ask you that question today. Do you love God? I know you do, okay? I'm not here to provoke that. I know you love God, but now I want to ask you, can you get into a phase, a new level of saying, let me now find a way to demonstrate that love by loving the people around me, by serving in the kingdom, by showing up on roster, by responsibility. Look, it could be something as simple as this. You could get this man's telephone number, not 3 a.m. in the morning, but maybe 10 p.m. on a Tuesday, send him an encouragement. Could we do that? We could do it, couldn't we? But what's best is if you have a sense of connection, that's what God would like me to do. But I'm not, that's something that doesn't take huge skill, doesn't take huge abilities. It takes a mobile and a moment. And what might be even more powerful is for you to do that for someone else in the church. Or to do that to, you know, the newcomer that you had a bit of chai with on Sunday, to reach out. Could be so important. One of my heroes as a female minister, I've often been very keen to see women empowered in ministry, but one of my heroes says, the change for her was she went to a church for the first time in her life, and as she walked in, an old lady came up and says, "Hello, dear. It's so good to see you." Goes up and gives her a hug. That's all it was. A hug. A non-threatening warmth celebration. She didn't know who the old lady was or anything like that. But it broke something in this heroin addict who had never experienced a non-manipulative hug in her life. Broke something for her. We could all do something, couldn't we? We could become a pen friend. You could do podcasting now. I don't know what a pod is. Is it like a little bean is or something like that? You could do podcasting. I've got a guy in my church who just loves the Bible and he studies it well. He places himself on the submission and he podcasts to the world every day. I think he's up to about 60 people that listen to his podcast. But you might only need one who gives their life to Jesus to make it all worthwhile. I've got another lady in my church who has been sitting there a little bit frustrated over it. She's suddenly decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a welcome box for newcomers to our church. This is probably about a $100 box. It's all printed up. It's got all these nice little tickets in it where you can put in scriptures and write little things on, got little stickers. It's beautiful. It's full of smelly things and chocolates. Chocolate's got to be a good thing. And she's going to make one every month. And if God will bless her, she'll make two every month. She can do that. What can you do in terms of responsibility? Watch and pray. Let God empower you. Stay close to Jesus. Jesus taught a lot about the end times, but the one thing he said that was very clear was, don't be deceived. Many will come and offer alternatives. And the only thing you'll be able to do then is stay close to him who loves you. Is that okay? Did that sound okay? Great. Bless God. I'm a bit like a mouse, a computer mouse. You just got to wiggle me occasionally to wake me up. Bless the Lord. So take responsibility with what you've got and deliver it. Give you power. One of the great things about embracing this is that you move from being of seeing yourself as a victim, I can't do anything, I'm useless, into actually seeing that you're now a victor in God, that God has got things for you to do. And you start to move from being a feeling person rather than a thinking person. We have to change that culture around us. Whoever makes the decisions over your life has the power over your life, so why don't you make the decisions? Responsibility is that act of playing by the rules when no one is watching. We'll either live by excuses, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, or we'll live by the cans. October the 2nd, 1996, the Europuro 757 went down the Pacific Ocean, killing all lives on board. After they did all the forensics and found out what happened, all 186 people perished because one man of the ground crew failed to do his job and just check the inlet pipettes of the plane. They've been blocked with ice. Somebody didn't do their job. Well, I'm happy to be here today to ask you to do what you can. Don't be guilty by what you can't do, but do what you can. Can you all stand where you are right now? Just stand. Thank you. Just stand where you are. And I just want to ask you to respond to the Spirit of God calling you forward. I'm not going to tell you what he's calling you forward to do, but I want you to be able to say, I am stepping up to the mark. I'm stepping up to what God's calling me to do. And then I'm going to pray that God will show you over the next few weeks, whatever it might be, what he wants you to do. And don't go too big. Do something really small, really powerful. God will bless it, and it will grow. And then it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. Then it can turn into the big thing that God wants you to do. Is that okay? Okay. Father, I thank you for this family of God. Lord, they've been faithful over many years. Lord, they've got great capacity. Lord, great heart for what they believe you want them to do in the city. Lord, they've called themselves Grace. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, we're not a house of judgment. Lord, we're a house that communicates the grace of God. And it's a city church, Lord. Father, we thank you for the influence we might have here. But Lord, we see the whole city of Perth, Lord, in need of a Saviour. Lord, we thank you for every church that's vibrant, where your word is preached. But there's, Lord, there's so much more that needs to be done. So Grace City Church, how can we be a city church and, Lord, fulfil that? Lord, maybe one donut at a time, one meal at a time, one cup of tea at a time, one coffee at a time, Lord, one flower at a time. But Lord, may we all do our bit to be the team that works together to reach our city for you. Lord, and that includes, Lord, holding up the hands of the pastor and the leadership, Lord. May we, through prayer, Lord, help extend their ministry by empowering them to do what they've been called to do as well. And Lord, as a church, we're assembled together to function together. So I'm going to ask you to take one step forward, if you can, in the name of Jesus, to do what God's calling you to do. That this is holy ground, that today you've had an opportunity to hear God call you by name to do what you've been called to do. So take that one step forward in the name of Jesus. And Father, we do pray now that as they open up, Lord, their life, their Bibles, Lord, to what you're calling them to do, Lord, that a spark will go off. Lord, there will be a connection somewhere between people and their gifts where they can serve in the name of Jesus. Lord, why? Because we love you. Lord, we love you. We love you so much. We're going to care for sheep, care for the lambs, care for the sheep. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, stop, stop, stop. That's horrible. I appreciate it. I do, but keep your eyes upon Jesus. We live in fascinating times. I'm now 69 years of age. Congratulations, Mike, on not dying after 69 years. Like, I've tried a few times on the way, being a bit silly here and there. Look, if you do have a feel to pray for me when I'm travelling from Perth and Armidale, because I'm falling asleep in the car. I've got one of these really nice cars, and, you know, I put the heater on and put the music on, and before I know, my car even tells me to get out and drink coffee. I mean, how spiritual is that? So, but it's that's not a good thing to do. But whatever you can do. We last week we had a man called George, who's ICU at Armidale Hospital, dying of cancer. Wasn't expected to live through the night. I get a phone call. We lead him to the Lord. We pray, and today he's been released from hospital, cancer free. Cancer-free, believing in Jesus, a Noongar man. God's out about doing wonderful things. So thank you so much. Pastor Aaron.